Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and to proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
When the British and French were fighting in Canada in the 1750s, Admiral Phipps, commander of the British fleet, was told to anchor outside Quebec. He was given orders to wait for the British land forces to arrive, then support them when they attacked the city. Phipps' navy arrived early, however. And as the admiral waited, he became annoyed by the statues of the saints that adorned the towers of a nearby cathedral. So he commanded his men to shoot at them with the ship's cannons. No one knows how many rounds were fired or how many statues were knocked out. But when the land forces eventually arrived and the signal was given to attack, the admiral was of no help. He had used up all his ammunition shooting at the saints. My friends, what do we do when there is division within the local congregation? What do we do when the community is divided over church leadership? The immature American response that I've seen over the past 20 years of ministry is to just pick up and leave and go to another church. But that's not living in real Christian community. When you live in real Christian community, you will step on others' toes and others will step on your toes. Say that with me. When you live in real Christian community, you will step on others' toes and others will step on your toes. This means that you will get hurt and that you too will hurt others. But it's what we do with our hurt that makes all the difference. If we can't see clearly because of hurt, then we end up shooting at the saints. Ba-boom! 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 If we can't see clearly because of some sort of spiritual stigmatism, then disunity and disruptions erupt. This is what was going on at the church in Corinth. Divisions have arisen due to factions within the community. In other words, no one is seeing with 20/20 vision. People have taken their focus off of the gospel, which is to say they have taken their eyes off of Jesus by setting their gaze upon mere human leaders. I like this guy, but not so much this guy. This guy is amazing. That guy, not so much. I remember running into a man a couple of years back that would only go to his church if Max Lucado was preaching. If Randy, the other pastor, preached, he wouldn't show up at all. That kind of attitude is not 20/20 vision. But 20/20 vision is just what Dr. Paul is prescribing to the divided church that he planted in Corinth that is now shooting at itself. Ba-boom! Ba-boom! And as we have seen in other of Paul's letters, Paul makes an appeal to the flock to correct theology and behavior, to instruct in right belief and right praxis. And so he appeals, as he always does. He makes an appeal to this divided group of people to live in harmony, to be of one mind, and to be united in thought and purpose. And how will all of this be accomplished? By recapturing 20/20 vision. By setting their focus back on Jesus and not on church leaders. My brothers and sisters, let us also recast our vision upon the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, learn from the church of Corinth about how to cease shooting at the saints. Let us be reminded of what 20/20 vision is all about. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, found on page 685. Now John Ortberg shares a story about a pastor who was leaving a church he'd been at for years. And at his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage one of the pillar members, "Don't be so sad. The next pastor might be better than me." She replied, "That's what they said the last time." But it keeps getting worse. The truth, and hear me on this, the truth about being in church leadership that seldom gets discussed in congregational life is that pastors frequently get hurt by their flocks. Most of the feedback they receive is negative criticism of their ministry. And therefore, a lot of pastors have walking PTSD. They have lived through trauma, abuse, and repetitive hurt, and their families have been exposed to it as well. So an accurate depiction of pastoral ministry, a lot of the time, can be likened to Julius Caesar being stabbed to death by the Roman Senate. That's very much what it looks like and it feels like. And this is why some pastors snap and shoot back at the saints. Maybe you've experienced that in another church. But in my experience, most pastors show forgiveness, mercy, and grace because they have received forgiveness, mercy, and grace because their vision is 2020 on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I preface all of this because it helps us get a better picture and a better grasp of what the Apostle Paul's relationship with the church in Corinth was like. The saints are shooting at each other, and they're shooting at Paul too. There's hurt, and there's criticism, and there's gossip, and there's a whole lot of ego and pride. So as American Christians, I guess we would feel right at home, wouldn't we? There's a big 2020 vision problem in American Christianity, just as there was in Corinth. But Paul enters into the crossfire. He puts himself into the line of fire, and he makes his appeal for unity. But just so we can imagine what the scene probably looked like in Corinth, think about our family groups littered all across the San Antonio area. Different extended families, the Pauline model of mission, meeting in homes led by different leaders. Imagine the disunity if some said, "I am a follower of Lorne," and others were saying, "I follow Rob," or "I follow Adam." This sort of thing was what was going on in Corinth. Quarrels and shooting at the saints. There's a lacking 2020 vision here. So Paul writes in verse 12, "Some of you are saying, 'I am a follower of Paul.' Others are saying, 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Peter.' But wait, there's more. There's a fourth group that says, 'I follow Christ.' Surely this fourth group has 2020 vision." Nope, not at all. They are grouped in with the other three factions because their mentality is, "We've got Jesus, yes we do, but you guys stink." They too were shooting at the saints. They too lack 2020 vision. So Paul appeals to these divided factions, reminding them of the gospel, which is to say, to see Jesus afresh. There was a man stranded all alone on a deserted island, but he was eventually rescued. And his rescuers asked him what the three structures were that he had built on the island. After all, three buildings seemed perplexing for just one man. And he said one of them was his house, and one was his church, and one was where he used to go to church before he got his feelings hurt. When people step on your toes, and you shoot back at them, and then they shoot back at you, what does Paul say? Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized into the name of Paul? Of course not. Of course not. People were baptized not into the name of Paul or Apollos or Peter, but into the name that has all authority and power. Again, take your eyes off of yourself, take your eyes off of your church leaders, and put them where they rightly belong, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul's appeal is for these four groups to live in harmony with one another. He writes in verse 10, "Let there be no divisions in the church." Let there be no divisions in the church. He's calling for peace. He's calling for right order. He's calling for the community to mend their nets, their fishing nets. Because the verb for unity in verse 10 is the same verb in Mark 1:19 and Matthew 4:21 to describe mending fishing nets. And this brings us to the missional dimension of this passage. Because shooting at the saints just doesn't hurt the Lord or the saints, but the witness of the gospel itself, which is the good news. Fish slip through the holes in the net when there isn't 20/20 vision on the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul writes this letter from Ephesus in Turkey, across the Aegean Sea. And the members of Chloe's household either were from Corinth in Greece and went to Ephesus to inform Paul, or they were from Ephesus, traveled to Corinth on business, and came back and told Paul what was going on. Either way, news has spread far and wide about the disunity in the church at Corinth, perhaps even to other parts of Greece and even to Rome too. But the imagery we are given is to mend the nets. Mend the nets. Hold the fish together. Let not one slip through. And throughout the centuries, the church has failed, utterly failed, to heed Paul's wisdom here. To this day, people say, I follow Aquinas. I follow Luther. I follow Calvin. I follow Cranmer. I follow Wesley. Church leaders again become the focus for disunity. The church needs to stop shooting at the saints and get 20/20 vision. Because if the stigmatism remains and the holes remain in the nets, it is a terrible witness for the gospel. So how do we mend the nets? And how do we hold together in unity? How do we hold fast to a 20/20 vision in Messiah Jesus? Well, first, we must forgive because we are forgiven. Say that with me. First, we must forgive because we are forgiven. You see, the cross of Jesus Christ is the great equalizer. When you and I come again to the foot of it, we realize that no matter how much we've been grieved by others, how much we've been hurt by others, we have grieved the Lord even more. We owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Much we have been forgiven of, my friends, much. Should we then withhold forgiveness to others and shoot the saints with critical attacks and gossip and divide the body of Christ? Why pray the Lord's Prayer and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us? Why do it? If you say it but don't follow it, you bring judgment upon yourself. And people with 20/20 vision see clearly because they know their place is at the foot of the cross. They forgive because they have been forgiven much. Second, we must be merciful and gracious because we have received mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Jesus said at the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And churches all over the world sing "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound." But just what are the definitions of mercy and grace? What are they all about? Well, here's this one I came across. Mercy is the act of withholding deserved punishment, while grace is the act of endowing unmerited favor. In his mercy, God does not give us the punishment we deserve, but in his grace, he gives us the gift we do not deserve. In other words, as the old prayer books put it, we are all miserable offenders to whom God shows mercy and grace. He lavishes upon us mercy and grace. And this is the character of our Heavenly Father. So why then are so many Christians unmerciful? Why are so many Christians ungracious? Why then do so many Christians go around shooting at the saints? People with 20/20 vision are merciful and they are gracious because they have received mercy and grace from Jesus Christ. And the character of the Father is evident therein. And so they dish out mercy and they dish out grace to others. In other words, they don't go around shooting at the saints. Third, we must look up. Look up and realize that even now we are seated with Jesus in the heavenlies. And in that mystical reality, we are not just seated with him, but with the saints. So when saints are shooting at other saints with their critical spirits and their negativity and their gossip and their unforgiveness and their lack of mercy and grace, they forget they are shooting at the royal co-heirs of Christ Jesus, and ultimately they are shooting at the head of his body, which is Christ himself. And this happens all the time when people take their eyes off Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, which is the gospel. Shooting at the saints occurs when folks lose this 2020 vision. So if the universal church is to mend the nets in keeping unity, we must first start with our own community here at Three Streams Church. And since I am rector, I will take the lead. If in the past several years I have stepped on your toes, I beg your forgiveness. I beg your mercy. I beg your grace. If I have caused offense to you, that was not my intention whatsoever. That is not my heart. I am not a perfect leader. Some of you may realize this by now. Nor is this community a perfect community either. Yet I love this body dearly that I planted. But like Paul, my primary aim and purpose is to proclaim and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to call everyone to 2020 vision, to put their eyes firmly fixed upon him. And I forgive those who step on my toes daily, because I want to be an example of a life that imitates the Lord. And now I call upon you all, in the name above every name, to forgive, to be merciful, and to be gracious to one another, and to remember just exactly you are sitting next to and working alongside with the royal sons and daughters of God. So you might want to take a look to the left and the right. Those are the co-heirs that you'll be sharing all of eternity with. My brothers and sisters, let us remember the imagery that Paul has given of mending the nets rather than shooting the saints. Let us strengthen our sight upon him who has been so forgiving, so merciful, so kind, and so very gracious to us, Christ the Lord. And let love strengthen this church and its eyesight as we recommit ourselves to 2020 vision. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and the unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign now and forever. Amen."